I want to welcome you to the Spirit Hosea service this morning. If you are listening to this by CD or downloading it from the internet, you are listening to a recorded session from the Spirit Hosea Fellowship. My name is Reverend Stephen W. Wilcox, and I am the Executive Director of Theological Foundations Ministries. And you can read lots of resource material on these subjects and many others that has to do with holiness in the Church of Jesus Christ at www.marriagedivorce.com or www.theologicalfoundations.com. You are welcome to download any teachings or any CDs or any written material and distribute them as you will. We want to welcome you if you're here live and in the service with us, and I thank you for being here. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to today's text, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to read two verses, verses 10 and verses 11. I'm primarily going to be reading out of the Authorized Version, the King James Version, although I may make reference from time to time to some other rendering. I'll begin. And unto the married I command, yet not I but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband, but, and if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, for your power. I ask you, Lord, for your help and for the words that only the Holy Spirit can give me. Help me, Lord, to equally divide the word of truth and to be able to be a light unto all those that hear. And I ask, Lord, that you cleanse the hearts and prepare the knees, Lord, for those that need to follow you in regard to what we're going to be talking about today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. I'm going to read two verses, verses 31 and 32. I'll go ahead. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. What this verse says here is that a man who puts away his wife, who divorces his wife, who is not guilty of adultery, that's Mokiah. He is not guilty, she is not guilty of fornication, rather, and that's porneia. It says here that a man that has put away his wife, who is not guilty of fornication, porneia, and she remarries, having not guilty of fornication, porneia, premarital sex, when she remarries, she is committing adultery, and the man that marries her is committing adultery. What this scripture says, that a woman who is thrown out of her house or divorced by her husband, and she has not been guilty of having premarital sex in the Jewish betrothal tradition in the book of Matthew, he is married to her, she's not guilty of having had relationships with another man before marriage, he throws her out, he divorces her, with or without cause, and she remarries, she becomes an adulteress. And the man that marries her becomes an adulteress. The innocent party here, the woman, cannot remarry. She's not guilty of fornication. She's guilty of nothing. She's the innocent party. She cannot remarry. It also says, Jesus says right here, that the man that marries her, this woman that's been innocently divorced, if he remarries, if he marries her after having been divorced by her husband, that man who marries her is in adultery as well. Jesus went on in Matthew 19 and 9 when he said, for I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for porneia, fornication, premarital sex, and shall marry another, commits adultery. And whosoever marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. Jesus is saying that the man that puts his wife away and he marries somebody else, he's guilty of adultery. And the man that marries the wife that he put away, he's guilty of adultery as well. In Mark 10, 11 and 12, it says, and Jesus is talking to his disciples, that he saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another, committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another man, she committeth adultery. Luke 16:18. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. If you put away your spouse, if you put away your wife, if you put away your husband and you remarry, you are committing adultery. If you are put away by your husband, if you are put away by your wife, if you are divorced by your husband or divorced by your wife, and you marry another, according to these words of Jesus, you are committing adultery. That is why in 1 Corinthians 7:10-11, our text, it says, and unto the married I commend, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband, but, and if she does depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. What the scriptures say is that marriage is permanent. When you are married, you are stuck together for life. You are bonded by God into a permanent one flesh relationship. You do not have the option of breaking that relationship. Your husband or wife does not have the option of breaking that relationship. Whether you have divorced or been divorced by, you are still married to your spouse as long as you both live until death do you part. And there's a reason for that. Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. I'll go ahead. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. The other translations say, be imitators of God. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God as a sweet smelling savor. God says that in all things be imitators of me. If you divorce your spouse, if you are divorced by your spouse, and you go on to break the covenant of marriage, you are not being an imitator of God. You're being an imitator of Satan, who is a liar and a covenant breaker from the beginning. We all know about the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. There are four verses that I would like to concentrate on. I'm going to read out of the King James, but I'm going to substitute the word charity for love. So that's 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to read verses 4 to 7. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not its own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth and is not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. All things, including abandonment and betrayal. It endureth all things, even through our weaknesses of jealousy and hurt and loneliness and pain. Jesus gave us the standard in marriage, but it is backed up by a principle that has full application in all of our lives. Matthew chapter 5, three verses, verses 46 to 48. I would like you to look this up to go with me in this. You need to see this. Matthew 5, verses 46 to 48. I'll go ahead. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. What good is it for you to love your covenant husband or wife if they simply love you? That is a wonderful thing. And I'm not saying that don't love and return love. But it is not extraordinarily situation to give that which you are given It is divine to love somebody that betrays you. But that is the divine standard. Jesus said in verse 46, "For if you love them which love you, what reward is that? Do not even the sinners do that?" Please turn with me back to the Old Testament. And I'm going to go to the book of Hosea, chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 1. I'll read out of the King James first. "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine." That could be a little awkward. Let me read this to you out of Young's literal translation. "And Jehovah saith unto me," this is to Hosea, "again, go, love the woman, loved of a friend and an adulteress, like the love, just like the loved of Jehovah, the sons of Israel, even though they are turning into other gods and are lovers of great cakes." I'm going to explain this in a minute. The New International Version, the United Kingdom edition, which is slightly different than the American NIV, states the following. "The Lord said to me, Go, show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes." There's a story here. Hosea married Gomer. Gomer was unfaithful to Hosea. Hosea was a prophet of Israel. God speaks to those that live according to his principles. He does not speak profound messages to his people unless it's a clean vessel that he can speak through. Also, Jesus spoke in parables, and so does the Father. The Father in the whole book of the Bible, the entire Bible, is talking about a race of beings, us, mankind, that were made in his image, that betrayed him, that disobeyed him, that broke a covenant with him. And he offers love and restoration and redemption to every man and woman that have ever been born. There are procedures and there are rules and there is a method. Those procedures and those rules and that method have to be followed. It's through Jesus Christ only. And there are direct regulations that he imposed for this redemption. That is another subject that would take years to even begin to identify. We don't have to talk about the plan of salvation. Most of you know it. But all of this reaching out to the world, reaching out to his chosen people, Israel, reaching out to the church, is illustrated by marriage. God required Hosea to marry Gomer. Gomer was unfaithful to Hosea. Instead of allowing Hosea to move on with his life, instead of permitting Hosea to meet the needs of his heart and of his flesh, he said to her, "Hosea, love your wife, even though she's an adulteress and beloved by another. And love her in the same way that God loves Israel, even though they chase after other gods and participate in fornication with them and adultery with them. In the same way." Quoting the text, again, I'll quote it. 1 Corinthians 7, 10 and 11. "And unto the married I command, not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife." This can be read by reversing the gender. But unto the married I command, not I, but the Lord, let not the husband depart from his wife. But if he depart, let him remain unmarried or be reconciled to his husband, and let not the wife put away her husband. Jesus said it both ways in the Gospels. He said it when the man puts away his wife. He applied it to when the wife is put away from her husband. He applied it when the wife puts away her husband. It's all the same. If you have been divorced or put away, or if you have divorced and are put away, you are to be restored and reconciled to your marriage. If you cannot yet do so, you are to remain as a single and chaste and faithful to your covenant, because everything is at stake. It's not optional. The New Testament says to be imitators of God, to follow after the Spirit, not to follow after the flesh. God did this already for us to follow. Please turn with me to Jeremiah. We're going to begin, we're going to read quite a bit of Jeremiah. We're going to begin in chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1, 2, and 3 out of the King James. Verse 1, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thy espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the firstfruits of his increase." I'm just going to stop there. God is saying, my bride that has turned against me, I remember our wedding day. I remember the love you had for me. I remember how pure and how innocent and how blessed was our beginning. In the Amplified Bible, let me read exactly those same verses to you. It says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I earnestly remember the kindness and the devotion of your youth, your love after your betrothed of me in Egypt, and the marriage that I had with you at Sinai when you followed me into the wilderness in a land that was desolate. Israel was holiness, something set apart from ordinary purposes and dedicated to the Lord, the first fruits of God's harvest of which no stranger was allowed to partake." It was a marriage. Same as our marriage in many ways. It says to be followers of God, to be imitators of God. When Israel turned away from God, he said that there was two things that they did. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." What he is saying is that his bride, Israel, did two things. It divorced him. It abandoned him. It left him. It stopped loving him. She left him. And not only did she do that, the second sin is that she replaced him. Instead of the living fountain of life, they dug out dry wells in the desert. Instead of being with the wife of your youth, with the husband of your youth, your covenant partner, many have gone after the shell and it's dry. They have somebody else, but it is dry and it is dead and it will not produce life. Two sins left him and replaced him. How did God react? Jeremiah chapter 3. We're going to read from verses 1 all the way to verses 14. I'll stop from time to time and comment. They say, if a man puts away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that lead greatly to a polluted land? And thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, says the Lord. God is quoting Israel's civil code found in Deuteronomy 24:1-4. He says, they say that if a man puts away his wife and she's unfaithful, that he shouldn't take her back. But I say to you, even though you have played the harlot, return to me, says the Lord. Verse 2, lift up thine eyes unto the high places and see where thou hast not been lain with. In the way hast thou set for them as the Arabian in the desert, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and thy wickedness. Stop. He's saying to Israel, you have betrayed me. Look who you have lain with, other gods. You're just like an Arabian that lives in the desert. You go to the bathroom and cover it up with sand. You have polluted the land. And your wickedness is destroyed your life. In verse 3, it says, therefore the showers have been withholden, and there have been no latter rain, and thou hast been a whore and a mark on your forehead, and you refuse to be ashamed. He is saying that you're a prostitute. You have gone after other gods. Very strong language here. Verse 4. Wilt thou not from this time cry to me, my father, thou art the guide of my youth? Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. Verse 6. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that thou backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain under every green tree and hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, God is saying, after all these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw that for all the causes thereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not and went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. Israel, instead of worshiping the living God, had built idols. People that break their marriages, instead of staying with their husband and wife, have replaced them. And they can't. How are we to act? We are to be imitators of God. Verse 10. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah have not turned unto me with her whole heart, but faintly, says the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself for the backsliding Judah. Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, unquote for a moment. Today, in this illustration, I'm going to use the same words that Jeremiah used in direct authority of God when calling back Israel, loving the bride that departed. Verse 12, go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thy iniquity. Thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and have scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. the same as God required Hosea to redeem Gomer. The same as God requires that if you are separated or divorced from or by your spouse, your stand as an imitator of God is to say, return. I will not cause my anger to fall upon you. I am merciful. Acknowledge your iniquity. You have transgressed against me and have scattered yourself to others. But turn, for I am married unto you, and I will take you back. That's what God did. That's what he required Hosea to do. That's what Jesus requires of those that are divorced or separated, willingly or unwillingly, if you're a Christian. In Jeremiah 3, verse 22, says, return, backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Somebody said to me one time, but Stephen, this is unnatural. It's unnatural for somebody to love somebody that doesn't love them. And I said, you're right. However, if you have had an encounter with Jesus Christ, you are changed. What was unnatural becomes natural. What was impossible becomes doable. What was not even unheard of becomes common. We have an example. Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 2 to 8. And verses 12 to 15. Five to eight, and verses 12 to 15 of Philippians chapter 2. We are to be imitators of God. Quote, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the very form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. You want to claim the name of Christ. You are to follow Christ. Christ was God, but he did not hang on to his rights and his power and his privilege. And he became obedient to God to the point of being crucified. So must you. Verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but so much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure, and do all things, without murmuring and grumbling and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom you shine as light in the world. Everyone else, when unloved, when betrayed, returns in the same currency. They move on. Fresh start. Reset. Begin again. Find somebody else that's new. Jesus said, no, Never. Don't do this. If you are divorced, you either were the instigator of it or you were the victim of it. You are to remain chaste and single and fruitful for Jesus Christ as you seek restoration and reconciliation, as long as both you and your covenant husband or wife live. This is the only Christian doctrine on this subject. God gave an illustration and an example of how to do it. Those of you that choose not to follow this narrow way will reap all of the threats that God gave to all who have their names on his lips and know him and follow him not. I want to encourage you, for you that have been either reached divorce because of your own weaknesses, you have either divorced your covenant partner or you've been divorced by. As surely as the Lord God lives, and he does, I can tell you that he will give you the power and he will give you the grace to forsake your sinful relationships and stand and live and thrive and reproduce as faithful, chaste singles. Please turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 25. Colossians 3, 12 to 25. And I want to end with this. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, mercies and kindness and humbleness of mind, meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to that which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful for it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves under your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. I want to just leave off with how we begin. 1 Corinthians 7:10-11. Unto the married I command, yet not I, not Reverend Wilcox, not even Paul the apostle who penned the words. Paul says, not I, but the Lord himself. Let not the wife depart from her husband, and let not the husband depart from his wife. But if she departs, but if he departs, let her or him remain unmarried and be reconciled to their husband or wife, and let not the husband or wife put away their spouse. That's what it means. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that your word gives a clear guide to us in this time. Heavenly Father, I ask that you empower these words with your Holy Spirit. And I, Lord, I ask you to forgive us for when we stray from this. But Lord, help us to come back and to follow you, Lord, with all of our hearts, not just with lip service, but with love and with thankfulness that we have this bearable cross to bear. We ask these things in Jesus' name.